Let's bow our heads together as we prepare to open God's word. Father God, we bow our heads now. We open our hands, Lord, to receive. Speak to us by your Spirit, by your word. Open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our minds to understand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to read from Galatians chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 6 through 24. It's Paul speaking to a small church there that he had started earlier, and that they were having some internal struggles. This is what he said. He begins with a blessing, grace and peace to you from God our Father, right, to ask for that for them. But then he goes on and says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age, was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went immediately into Arabia, and later returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Peter, and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing you is no lie. Later I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They'd only heard the report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they praised God because of me. The word of the Lord. People of God, the early church was a pretty messy place as far as trying to understand what God was doing. Yes, they knew that Jesus was the Christ. He was the Messiah. But what did that mean to these small communities of Jewish people who up until now had clung tightly to the covenants that God had made? Were they still supposed to circumcise their children? Did Gentile believers need to be circumcised? Should they still keep the feast days and holiness practices? It was a mess. And Paul spent large portions of his letters trying to clear up some of these big questions that people had. But in Galatia, he ran into some opposition. Zealous Jewish Christians, they were much like he was before Christ got a hold of him, right? They were preaching the traditions, right? Maybe it was the good old boys network. People playing for power and politics. They loved to be people of influence in their community. And they went after that power by attacking Paul and his teachings. They tried to turn the course of this church. So they say, well, Paul, who is this guy anyway?
He wasn't one of the 12. He wasn't one of the first ones. Maybe we should talk to one of them to get the real story. Let's call up Peter to see what we're supposed to be doing. Besides, we're starting to forget some of the traditions and practices that have sustained us as a community for more than 1,000 years. The good old boys network pulled together and they said, let's go back to the basics. And apparently this group were having some success convincing people. The church was starting to pull behind them, going back to these Jewish practices, restoring a focus on law and Torah obedience, rather than embracing the freedom of Christ that Paul had taught. And it probably felt great to everybody. It seemed so right. Paul likes to talk about freedom and grace, being filled with the Holy Spirit, but what does that mean? That's messy, unpredictable. Let's return to the precision and clarity of what we've been taught all along. Covenant law, Deuteronomy, Leviticus. Let's go back to what we know that God has said to us. This is clear, this we understand. But what was Paul's response to this? Right? They're going back to all that they had known, and he says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into a confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one that we preach to you, let him be condemned. Let that angel be condemned. If he stands up and says something that he's leading you astray, may he be condemned. As we've already said, if anybody is preaching you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Paul is upset. You hear how angry he is, right? And if you think about it, the church, they probably heard what these other Christians were saying, and it made sense. It is good, strong Jewish piety. The old boys' club is championing the virtues that we have been taught since we were children. Isn't that great? Return to our roots. Go back to who we're supposed to be. This makes sense to us. But Paul's message in response to that is so urgent. He says, this is serious. God has sent his Son. He has breathed his Spirit into the world. He is overturning the power of the enemy, invading history with power and might. And you want to go back to your scripted ceremonies and fancy meals? You are being led away from Christ by sweet-talking slavers, wanting to slap you back in chains. Whoever has caused you to stumble in this way should be condemned, eternally condemned, anathema, cursed. Those are his words. Well, what we see here, these two messages that are vying for attention, the message of grace and power that Paul is bringing from Christ, and the one championed by the good old boys, the popular message, the clean, the comfortable, the familiar. Now, do we ever wrestle with such a dynamic in our context? Do we ever have that pull between the messy and the clean? At the Day of Encouragement yesterday, Sid Hielema noted a basic hunger that drives a lot of young people. They want to be part of a community where people love each other in such a way that if someone walked in among us, they would be able to say, wow, Christ lives here. They would be able to smell God's presence in our midst. But after Sid said that, he acknowledged that it's not just our young people who long for that, is it? We all do. We all want to be a part of something beautiful, to be the aroma of Christ in the world. And yet, how often do we fall prey to the lure of the clean, the comfortable, and the familiar? When Jesus called people to follow him, Many saw the truth and the power of what God was doing. But very few were able to stick it out because the things he said were hard. They were radical. The rich young ruler walked away sad when Jesus challenged him to leave his wealth behind. The rules and the commandments, the ceremonies, these he was happy to keep. He was glad to do it. But to leave everything behind, to set out on this journey that was into the unknown, that was too much, too hard, too messy. I hear sometimes that my job as a preacher is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. I like the twist on that. Apparently Reinhold Niebuhr said that. That was, say, the role of the leadership in the church. Well, when we hear Paul, he seems to have that same sense of call. He says, am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. If this was just a popularity contest, Paul says, I would choose a much easier message. The good old boys, they sound like heroes. Back to the basics, what we've always been taught. This we know for sure. Tried and tested. But if Paul was out to win the affections of the people, this was the easy path. But he says he is unable to give that message because he is here to serve Christ. And Christ has given him a very different message. One that changes, that fulfills, that overturns much of the old tradition. And later in the letter, he even shares how he had to confront Peter on some things as he was falling back into the ruts of the past. The message Paul brings is not popular. In the letter, he highlights the hardship and the opposition that he has had to endure to bring it. He even says in chapter 6, let no one cause me trouble. Don't doubt my integrity, because I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. I have suffered to bring this message. This is not about me. This is about him, and his marks are on me. It is the message and not the messenger that really matters. It doesn't matter if I wasn't one of the 12. I am sent by Christ, and you can see it in me, on me. Well, ultimately, Paul urges the church in Galatia to reach again for what Christ has taught them. As we read his letter to the church, we hear that message. Don't be satisfied with the clean, the comfortable, and the familiar. God wants so much more for this community. Do you remember what I taught you? It was by faith that you received God's Spirit, not by rituals, not by ceremonies. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Don't return to your chains. Return to the joy of being a community of grace and love and hospitality. A community that is on fire with the Spirit of God. As we hear Paul's message, we are reminded of a few things. First, there is that basic relationship that we have. Jesus is our King. He is our Lord, and we are his servants. When we are servants, we have those questions. Well, who do we serve? Who do we aim to please? What are we living life for? Whatever we do, whatever choices we make, the song that we aspire to have in our hearts is the one we started with this morning. Not to us, but to your name be the glory. Or to a more contemporary psalm, say, an expression of that is to say, riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. This is why I'm here. It's not about me. What I do, how I live, how I raise my kids, how I do my work is not about me. It is about my Lord. It is about him. I am working for his glory, to earn praise for him, not for me. Christ never lived by the mantra, me first. Otherwise, he never would have gone to the cross. Instead, he taught us to put me last. Others are first. And so we should be willing to make sacrifices for the good of another, as he did. And Christ, his call on us is first. It is his vision, his message, his will. And that is the message of our life passage today. We've been talking about life passages. For today, it was this. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. I am a servant of Christ. I serve him. It is the reason I do everything. For us as Christians to claim that identity and say, this is who we are. This is why we are here. And we are ready to serve. Here's a second reminder for us. Is that God wants so much more for us than we find comfortable. You and I can be a lot like the church in Galatia. We too like things clean, comfortable, familiar, and predictable. But while routine and structure, they are very good things. They're very healthy and they're very necessary. But God is also asking us to trust him to step out of that routine from time to time. To follow him on what sometimes is a crazy journey that makes no sense. Being in a place where we do have order and structure and routine makes us ready so that when he does call us, we can step out of it and go. Right? Then we have the strength because we haven't been wasting our energy all over the place. Right? But when he calls, we follow. So that's an encouragement that I give, right? If you're going about your daily business, you're in your routine, and God gives you a poke, go for it. When he calls you, go for it. Just, you know, someone needs an encouraging word. Someone needs you to be there even for 5 minutes, for 10 minutes. Just go. Obey. Serve. Hear his call. The Spirit-led life is messy and unpredictable. But it is also energizing and exciting to be a part of. We are joining Christ in his work to bring new life, joy, peace, and comfort to people in our communities. A father of the church said it well, Irenaeus. He said, the glory of God is a human being fully alive. God's glory is most seen when he takes somebody like us, who are ordinary, who are doing our usual thing, and he makes us fully alive. We begin to bloom, then God is praised. And this is where Paul points. He is angry with the good old boys and their message. Because when people listened to them, they were turning their back on what God was doing, on his call on them. Paul saw God pouring out his Spirit on the church, changing hearts and minds. He saw God fulfilling all the prophecies and ceremonies and feasts. He saw God gathering a new community that would live and love in the way of radical hospitality, compassion, and love. Paul was there. He saw God's heart beginning to beat in the bodies of ordinary people so that they extended their hands to the least, the lost, and the lonely. In light of all of that, of what God was doing, all of this call he was having on people, the Spirit blowing through, going back was not an option. And as the Church of Jesus Christ, we continue to testify to the fact that God is moving in our midst today. He is changing us even today. He is teaching our hearts to beat in tempo with his. He is calling us forward to put others first. He is putting our hands and minds to work building a kingdom that points to His love and grace. His Spirit is blowing ahead of us, it is behind us, and it even is blasting through those stubborn corners of our hearts that don't want to hear it. We continue to point to that today and say, this is what God is doing in our midst. Living life in His service, driven forward by the Spirit, the church today moves forward in joy and hope to follow and serve her Lord. And as we go, we pray that the world will hear this song to God in our hearts. Not to us, but to your name be the glory. Amen.